Broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Michael, and broadcasting here or webinaring from Finland. And well, we're just everything is occurring at once, it seems. We have a very a full moon very close to this pre-full moon webinar, and this is a very unusual full moon. It is what do they call it, a super blood wolf moon. All those things at once. The moon is very in its orbit, is very close to the Earth, making it a super moon. It's a blood moon because we have an exact lunar eclipse here, and the light coming from through the Earth's atmosphere reaches the moon, and depending on where we are, turns it either quite red or rust color. And when these kinds of moons occur, the full moons occurring in January are known as wolf moons. Maybe, you know, imagine the crystalline snow and hungry wolves around you, and there you are in your cabin. There's a lot of old stories about that. And actually, here in Finland, the wolves have been making some progress and coming back. So anyway, a super blood wolf moon. And just at the very beginning of Aquarius, really, 0051 in Aquarius, and then the moon is at in Leo at 0:51. So it's intense, and it rather reminds you of some of the old stories that near the end times, or these critical moments in human history, we would see great wonders in the sky. You know, there's been quite a few of them, and there's no question that humanity, in its battle between the angel and the dweller, is really being tested. Now, hopefully the Aquarius moon will help us, the sun in Aquarius, help us with this spirit of brotherhood, unity, and a knowledge of the one humanity. Now tonight, we're going to have a broadcast to you. It's giving that broadcast at our usual live link, which I'm pretty sure you have. And if not, maybe it's in the chat box. And that starts in the wee hours of the morning at 3:45 a.m. GMT. And then at 5:15 and 57 seconds, we have the actual full moon. So that's almost 5:56. So, you know, whether you're with us or not at that time, or doing your own thing, you know, I trust that you will be alive and awake for that important moment. Since Aquarius rules so much of what we're trying to do together, and in a way it is the sign which is particularly related to the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. Here we have what this is looking like, the exact moment of the full moon, as it's given here in Finland, and you see the exact opposition and so forth. And here we have Sagittarius rising with Jupiter on the ascendant, more or less, and you will have a different rising sign depending on where you find yourselves. Now, I've got a lot of pictures here, so I hope I can somehow do this correctly. We always take a look at the banner for Aquarius, or for whatever sign it may be, and it gives us the keynote, the evolutionary keynote. Not let desire in form be ruler, because it is possible to use the Aquarian energy negatively, although it is one of those energies which maybe does not affect humanity so much immediately. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men. Thirsty human beings, you know, men, manus, that's really what it means, that being that is characterized by the development of manus. And our particular planet is Mercury, the foremost planet of manus, almost exclusively so. These waters, of course, are the profound energies of the cosmic etheric planes on the cosmic physical plane. And they are the logoic, the monadic, the atomic, and the buddhic. And those are the real waters of life. Of course, to a certain extent, this is reflected in the pranas, which are coming to us from the sun and which animate our etheric bodies. I think in the age of Aquarius, the etheric vitality of the human being under the impression of the seventh ray will be far greater than now it is. And DK says that we can look towards a better condition of health for all once we understand the seventh ray and the power of circulation of prana. The etheric body will be particularly the focus. And when we look at the etheric body, Aquarius is one of those signs which is particularly connected with it. Both Gemini and Aquarius. Aquarius is connected with the systemic etheric body of the planet, and incidentally, our etheric bodies within our personality, and also with the cosmic ethers, where we might say that life really begins. Otherwise, when we're dealing with the lower 21 subplanes, believe it or not, it's a leftover from a previous time, from the earlier major solar system, and there's a lot to correct about the way the energies are arranged there. So that's the dense physical body of our planetary and solar logos, the lower 18 or the lower 21 subplanes, and they are not principled in the cosmic sense. In other words, just the way our physical body is not a principle, but the principles of man begin with the etheric body and its pranas, so it is cosmically as well, and the dense physical body of the planetary logos and of the solar logos are not considered principled. Principles begin, the livingness begins on the cosmic ethers. And more under Aquarius, we will be penetrating into those cosmic ethers. Well, here we have, you know, the water carrier in the Jofra illustration. It's tough to hold that vase. It's not yet balanced perfectly on your head, as it will be when the law of service has been perfectly fulfilled. It is a burden, and Aquarius is carrying burdens eventually for humanity. Of course, the burden of the self is a problem in the beginning, and it's hard to carry around one's lower ego as if it were a real factor. You know, that rather strange look in that circle there of the sun. I've seen certain Aquarians that remind me very much of that image, and sometimes with those wide placed eyes. It depends on what decanate of Aquarius we are talking about. So anyway, the waters of the higher ethers are being distributed by the one who is intent to serve. He or she becomes the true world server and pours out this livingness upon all chakric systems within the planet, and I suppose within the solar system as well. Aquarius is the sign of the divine circulatory flow. And in order to be a healthy human being and to be a healthy humanity, healthy in all respects, that divine circulatory flow cannot be stopped. So eventually all of our chakras, and the larger chakras too, in the planetary sense, are fed by these great energies, and they come into their full expression. Every chakra is like a planet, and as complex as a planet may be, chakras also have their degree of complexity. Maybe some of the Hindu examinations into the subject have gone more deeply than we have at this time. But every chakra is a world unto itself, and it needs to be sustained by this life-giving energy. So this is one of the major healing signs, as it pours life-giving energy into the recipient. And you know, frequently it is people with those air signs, Gemini and Aquarius, connecting with the etheric body. They do have some success in the healing field. Of course, you can heal on any ray, and you can heal under the influence of any sign. You notice sort of that Capricornian skull here, and you have to learn how to walk through that and beyond death. Aquarius is one of those signs of initiation, and it, you know, maybe, I don't know how much the first initiation, but the second, third, fourth, and fifth can all be ruled by Aquarius. And so he passes through the jaws of death. This is what it might look like here. And you see that sort of golden radiating city in the distance, the shining city on the hill. Aquarians tend to think of utopia. You know, Sir Thomas More, very strong Aquarius. Sir Francis Bacon, a strong Aquarius. I begin to wonder whether Plato himself, another writer of a utopia, was not Aquarian, because they have that kind of vision of the possibilities that come under the planet of the archetype, which is Uranus. You know, Uranus is how things are supposed to be in heaven. It's the heavenly one, and it's the major rule of Aquarius, orthodoxly, but also one of the veiled, the moon veils Aquarius in the highest aspect of, veils Uranus in the highest aspect of Aquarius. So this is what we're going to be facing in the next coming years. DK gave the beginning of the age of Aquarius. I don't know why that's showing up, but DK gave the age of Aquarius beginning in 2117, and it's the year when the planet of the soul, which is Venus, again crosses the face of the sun visibly. So he gave a technical piece of information there, 2117. We're about 100 years away from the clearing of the Piscean and six-ray energies, and they are recrudescing, there's no question about it. So we have our hands full as we try to prepare for entering into Aquarius in the right way. It is ruled there by three planets, Uranus, the violet planet, Jupiter, the royal blue, and by the moon, which hides the secret of transfiguration, because the mind, emotions, and body can all be illuminated, irradiated in Aquarius, and it's one of the major signs in which the third initiation can be taken. I mean, just because we have Capricorn strong in our chart doesn't mean we're going to be taking the third initiation, or because we have Pisces that we're going to be taking the fifth initiation. It depends on where you are. But according to where you are on the path of evolution, you can use these planets in different ways. Now, for people like ourselves, there's a lot of focus on Jupiter, a great second-rate planet in Aquarius, giving us true group unity, brotherhood, universality, love, all those good things that we want to bring into our group life. Francis, you know, you want to check on Francis Donald's images. He gives here the seven serpents, which unite under the Aquarian influence. And let's see what else we have here. Oh, see, I'm just off on a little tangent here. Yeah, this is the first image, and here we have a very Kuan Yin like figure holding the earth, the illuminated earth, and helping to make it sacred. It's very beautiful, and Aquarius is a sign that brings a lot of the higher type of illumination. There's also another beautiful image that he has of the master surrounded by his disciples in the varying circles in which the disciples sit, because Aquarius is the sign preeminently of the hierarchy, and hierarchy is very whoop, something happened there. I'm not sure I can do this. No, I can't. Hierarchy is very stratified in a certain sense. So there, within the ashram, there are all these spheres of responsibility and circles of intensity, and each circle represents perhaps a different point of tension. So although Aquarius has been associated with the leveling effect, the idea of standardization, as in early communism, and there's some truth to that, because the brotherhood, sisterhood of the monad is reflected in humanity, and everybody is seen as being equal, which is correct monadically, but it's not correct hierarchically. And later, Aquarius will give you the hierarchical view of the ascending human race, each with its own sphere of intensity and its own point of tension. So this tells us something about Jupiter in Aquarius. We are learning to be group conscious beings, and we extend our sense of identity beyond the usual. Beyond we extend beyond the usual sense of I am I and you are you. The whole concept of the we as one being is really coming in very, very strongly. And I would say, here we are working on that. We have our, our pentagram, a sacred pentagram, 5-day full moon approach, which Tuya is giving in meditation. And I would work very much on using Aquarius to promote the sense of group unity, and try to extend beyond your own limited ring pass knot until you begin to feel your identity in all the others. Now, maybe it's not an easy thing to do at first, but we've got to get beyond our so-called skin encapsulated ego. As it's kind of humorously or sarcastically referred to, a very limited sense of identity. We have to live through others and be the others with whom we are associated. And that sense of universality comes in very strongly in Aquarius. So let's see, what is universality? It's kind of an embrace of the wholeness. He talks about the pervasive wisdom under Jupiter of the developed Piscean, and the pervasive love, the universal love of the developed Aquarian. So it really is a sign which has a chance of promoting the great second ray that is beginning to manifest on our planet through the approach of the spiritual hierarchy, its externalization, and the coming of the great Lord, supported by that triangle, very powerful avatar of synthesis, spirit of peace, and the Buddha. So great wonders are predicted for the Aquarian age, an age when really the fifth ray of Aquarius will help so much with a certain strata of humanity entering the fifth great kingdom of souls. And that's our job, and to also do that individually and in our groups. And that's our task as well when we're helping other people, to be aware that there is a fifth kingdom, a kingdom of the soul, and that, you know, heaven is an impermanent condition, a cyclic condition, and it may even be foregone. The whole idea of the occult constitution of the human being has to be spread far and wide. And Aquarius will help us do that because of its broadcasting, its irradiating power. A lot of people are going to resist maybe what you say, and the group John the Baptist, which the new group of world servers is, can sometimes feel like a voice crying in the wilderness. And then there's all kinds of glamour which descends and distorts what we are trying to say with clarity. But nevertheless, we have to enunciate the principles of the coming age and acquaint people, I would say, under Aquarius, with the law of cycles and with the great cosmic interplay that is operating from the subtle planes to the dense planes, and in some ways in reverse. So, you know, Francis has done a beautiful job with these images, and also Dwayne Carpenter, a fine artist associated with our organization. And he does some beautiful and meaningful images too in this light weaver mode. So visit his website and Francis's, and here in the chat box we've given you where you can see Francis's images and what he's saying about them. But right now I'm just kind of a little bit improvising. He said a lot of good things, and I think it, you know, makes sense to try to read them if you can. There's so many good things. I'm tempted to read them. You know, he quotes judiciously from the Tibetan and the eye. Oh, it's magnificent. But anyway, here's the heart of the sun. I'll just do one of them. The meditation that we're doing on the second ray and considering Jupiter and the sun and the sun as the eye of Jupiter and all that, it will result in the realization of the true significance of light and the revelation of the meaning of what has been called in esoteric books. Now, this is the phrase, and this is what we want to contact, and our egoic lotus is the representation of it, the heart of the sun. Now, you know, we can just pass that by in a sentimental way and not really get into what it is, but it's really the soul nature of the soul of Logos and the soul nature of humanity and the soul nature of the planet and the soul nature of the individual human being. So we can get into that, the heart of the sun. We evoke that in Aquarius and in Leo particularly, which is the inner point of life in all manifested forms. You know how the heart carries the life energy. Illumination of the mind will be seen to be direct and infallible. It's one of the intuitive signs. And just like the flash of lightning at night, illuminating all that was hidden to you in the darkness, so will the inventive Aquarian mind under Uranus, the occult mind, work. It will, through the effect of its potent force, Aquarius, now this is interesting, stimulate the astral bodies of men. You know, it's an air sign, but it has a lot of association with water, into a new coherency, into a brotherhood of humanity, which will ignore all racial and national differences and will carry the life of men forward into synthesis and unity. What a great promise. This means a tide of unifying life of such power, a tide of unifying life of such power that one cannot now vision it. But we've got, after all, 2,000 and something years in which to experience this, but which in 1,000 years, and that's into the Mercury decanate of the age of Aquarius, will have welded all mankind into a perfect brotherhood. And let's just say by the time we get to Venus, it really is the age of brotherhood, the last 720 years of the age of Aquarius. So its emotional effect will be to purify the astral bodies of men so that the material world ceases to hold such potent allure, you know, the glamour of materialism, and may, in its later stages, bring about a state of exaggeration as potent in the line of sentiency as that which we have undergone along the line of materiality. So, you know, the astral body will be evoked, and we'll have to handle that, but a great purification is possible. Well, anyway, in you can look where you find Francis's discussion on these. Of course, he's gone on and done other things which have been very interesting in Divine Geometry, and also now in The Secret Doc, a monthly series coming out and going to last a long time. So we are very grateful for his images and his thoughts supporting our work here. All right, I think maybe I've spoken enough about these things. Let's just say in not too long, you know, for looking at it from now, maybe another, I don't know, another 7 hours, something like that, we will have the full moon in Aquarius, and it's a spectacular moon if one can see it. Imagine it's huge because it's so close, and its color may be red, and just listen to see if you hear the wolves howling in the winter night. I don't think all of you will have that, but up here in Finland in the far north, we could. Okay. So let me just see. I've got to find something here, don't I? I've got to find the meditation. That would help, wouldn't it? Okay, so let's see. Meditation. There we go. All right. So together we will begin preparing for the actual moment of the full moon, and we've probably been using it already, you know, in the different presentations that we have that are alerting us to the full moon. Water of life am I. Water of life am I. I am these cosmic energies poured forth, you know, for thirsty humanity. I am that. So let's see if we can, in these days, get a little sense of the universal. Now, obviously, you know, our consciousness cannot extend even to this universe. It's so vast, but limited. I think finite, but still so vast beyond us that we are the tiniest of mites, you might say, just the tiniest little thing. But more and more, our ring past knot is expanding, and the first real step in universality is to somehow embrace with your heart and your mind the solar system, which is considered in a way to be a universe. And a galaxy is another universe. We're very far from that, and families of galaxies and the grand entirety, way, way, way beyond us. But the idea of how we do this and how we extend our sense of identity beyond the customary personality, this is the thing. We have to learn how to do that. We have to learn how to stop, you know, looking in the mirror and saying, this is all there is to me, you know. What you see is what you get. It's what you don't see that is the real thing. So we have to learn how to do that, and under the influence of the love of the Christ, it gets easier and easier, but never easy entirely. All right, we go. So, right. So we'll just be in the silence for a little while. There's some 80-something of us here, you know, and many more on subjective planes, and working in other forums and formats, so it's a gathering. So we withdraw our consciousness from the personality. We are, after all, first state of identification, really, we are the soul in incarnation, in the presence of the personality, and we withdraw from identification. I have these vehicles, but I am not in these vehicles. It's the Raja Yoga method. See, the real we, the real human being, is always behind and within. We have to make those words real to us. And we begin to sort of slip out of the customary awareness into the awareness of the soul on the higher mental plane, the field of light and of love and of spiritual will, spiritual power. We try to get a sense of ourselves in a new environment, a new environment of light, spiritual light, soul, love, and soul sacrificial will and power. This is a more real place for us to be. And we, as we do this, we kind of reach out to other human beings, toward, at first, the men and women of goodwill, considering them as souls and the members of the new group of world servers, considering them as souls. Everyone really is a soul, and we have to have that spiritual discernment to somehow detect the presence of the soul behind the more obvious human being. And that takes some sensitivity. More than we think. But eventually we realize that although millions, even billions of people are not yet treading the spiritual path, they are our brothers and sisters and fellow souls in the one soul. So we kind of universally, encompassingly, inclusively embrace humanity, whether the human beings are in the body or out of the body. We use our creative imagination to do this. And there's really no one who's not a part of the one soul of humanity. People have difficulties, and they may be, according to normal judgment, good people or bad people, but that doesn't change the inner soul nature. So we somehow begin to realize there is no my soul or thy soul. Of course, we have a causal body and it is developed to a certain extent and so forth. But ultimately, there's no my soul or thy soul. It's all one consciousness. And we sound for ourselves that ancient and amazing mantra, naught is but me. Naught is. And if that mantra really begins to make its way into your consciousness as a reality, then the transfiguration of the personality is within sight, an objective. You have to be very careful, very subtle when using that mantra, but spend some time with it very quietly. Naught is but me, and see what impression will come to you. Now our purpose is to touch higher energies, you know. We can theorize about them, but really the rainbow bridge of all the different colors should bring us actually into contact with the qualities and the tones and so forth that stand behind these colors. The colors are there, you know. Normally we would excuse me, we would use the two colors amidst all the seven of the spectrum. We would use two, especially that of our soul ray, and then blend it with our personality ray, which is why it's so important to know those things. And gradually we do and will. But as we work tonight, we think about the rainbow bridge of all the colors, and particularly the indigo blue color, because that's what we're really cultivating, the soul ray of our planet, the soul ray of our solar system, the ray of the hierarchy, the ray of the Christ. You know, we're cultivating the major indigo ray, the love wisdom ray. And so first maybe we imagine a multicolored connection between the astral body and the intuitional level, because there is a way to reach into the intuition from the properly formulated astral images. And that passes through the retained and gathered energies on the mental plane, probably on the fourth sub-level. So we, you know, we gather those energies, the energy of the knowledge petals around our mental unit, and the, just imagine them being drawn in. The energies of the love petals being drawn in around the mental unit. These are called retained energies. Energies of sacrifice, the mental petals, where, well, these are petals of initiation being drawn in to the mental plane. And then the synthesis petals that are buddhically, of buddhic origin and buddhically coordinated. They're opening up. And those energies are drawn in. And finally, the representation in our soul of the monad, which is the jewel in the lotus, the sevenfold jewel, mysteriously with eight radiations, drawn in to that area of retained energies through which the multicolored bridge passes, and especially colored by the indigo ray. Just sit with the indigo a little bit. Every color has its quality and its tones, and we have to become sensitive to the impact of these things. Instead of just theorize about them, we have to experience them. So we're going to project together as if we are within that area of retained energies fed from the group personality below and contacting, touching different levels of the spiritual triad. You know, we don't really say we touch the top of the triad because those atomic levels and subatomic levels pertain to beings who are higher than a master. But loosely, we imagine that the Antikarana enters into the triad, and especially somehow into the Buddhic level at this point, later the Atmic level. And we're going to sound the Om outwardly three times, thinking to ourselves that word of power. I see the greatest light, as if it goes all the way to the monad and somehow touches or evokes something of the unfettered enlightenment of Shambhala. So a great intense light can begin to descend upon the invoking group. So we have the indigo bridge, largely indigo, and the shaft of white light penetrating into the higher reaches, and then the word of power, I see the greatest light. So inwardly you pronounce that, outwardly the Om. See the greatest light. It's the opportunity to be touched by the unfettered enlightenment of Shambhala, of course, just in tiny measure, of course. But we're fed from above by these great energies. And don't forget, we're penetrating into an area of the cosmic physical plane, which really is ruled by Aquarius and violet, and it's the whole cosmic etheric setup. that we're learning to penetrate into. It's the place where the principles of a planetary logos begin to take shape. And until we break the causal body and enter into the triad as our major focus, whatever else we might be able to precipitate, we're not alive in the spiritual sense. So the Antikorana is really a lifeline, a line to life. And maybe at the top of your head you can feel that stimulation, you know. Remember that Aquarius in a way rules the entire head center and its radiation. Now the masters, they focus there. They are in a way triadal beings. They have precipitatory or precipitative abilities, and they can put in an appearance at will on the lower planes through the power of Kriya Shakti, but pretty well they have they're working through Maya Virupas, will-created bodies, pretty much so. And the whole task here is to bring about etheric substitution. The cosmic ether is descending into the systemic ethers and animating the dense physical body of the planetary logos, and we pretty much live and move and have our being in that dense physical body, but not forever. Because under Aquarius we can ascend, and under the law of elevation ruled by Capricorn, the law of group progress, we can ascend. Study the laws of the soul again and again and again in esoteric psychology too, and it shows you the steps that need to be taken. So here we are, you know, offering our cooperation with these great beings whose consciousness is largely triadal, and we offer our salutations. It's not, you know, some people say, well, you know, you're using the sixth ray, it's worship and all that, but these are actually meditations that DK gave, these salutations, and it's meant to indicate that we stand in solidarity with the masters as they attempt to help to manifest the divine plan, and we attempt to cooperate with them and play our part. So we begin. And we offer our salutations first to the Christ, the master of all masters and the teacher alike of angels and of human beings. The living Christ is a real being, and that realization must become ever more vivid in our consciousness. Salutations to the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. Oh. Salutations to the Triangle of Masters, Moria, Kutumi, Jwal Kul, with whom we most closely work, as they have decided to come very close to humanity at much sacrifice. And to your own master, as you imagine him to be, conceive him to be, know him to be, to your own master. We realize that Shambhala is the center through which the energies of the various constellations and planets and so forth come in under the law of assembly, this combining of their potencies under the eye of Sanat Kumara to advance the purpose and plan, and for distribution to all the different kingdoms on Earth. And we think now to begin ascending to the influence of the planetary spheres, the rulers, the constellations, the extraterrestrial energies which are uniquely available at this time. We have to have the faith that they are, and I do think we can begin to feel the changes, just like, you know, when the moon changes sign, even though it's a thought form effect, you do feel the change. It is can be very real within the personality. So there's this golden pathway, and it leads symbolically into the indigo sun. Our logos is called the blue logos, and really he's an indigo logos. But this is a sphere in which the second ray is very prominent, and the golden pathway leads into it. And we will use the imagination to meet Master DK, symbolically at least, within within the indigo sphere. So it's as if all of us are gathered together in a point of tension. Our extension in time and space makes no difference. We are all together at a point. And we are above the golden pathway, and as it shortens and shortens, being retracted into the indigo sphere, so all of us follow it, ride with it, until we find ourselves imaginatively within this indigo sun, this indigo sphere. And here we are, as if in the presence of the Master DK, who teaches so many. And we seek to become at least minor outposts of his consciousness, which pervades our consciousness within this indigo sphere. And our task is to begin to imagine contact with the rulers of the constellation Aquarius, and with Aquarius and its light and its rays, and of course with the solar logos, in which we all, in a sense, live and move and have our being. The planetary rulers, Uranus, Jupiter, and the Moon. We raise our consciousness to kind of take their presence in. The turquoise nature of Uranus, as it appears, and of course it's a violet planet internally, and Jupiter, the sort of purplish blue of Jupiter, the great second ray planet with seventh ray aspects, and then the Moon, veiling in a way the full power, hierarchically considered, of Uranus mental, Neptune emotional, and Vulcan physical. So it's as if these sources are now very real to us, because at certain times, at least with respect to the Earth, their energies are uniquely available. Now, our first pondering is on Uranus, the home of electric fire. It's actually in the next solar system. Its full power will be shown. It's monadically a first-ray planet, just the way our little Earth is. That's quite a connection there between Uranus and our Earth. And Uranus has this power that we need to transmute, changing the nature of matter, transform, changing relationship, transfigure, elevating us into the relatively formless worlds, although there is form, and translating us into the higher cosmic ethers. Uranus, a great transformer, but basically, at first, helping us live the pattern that is in the heavens, and to live it right down here in the midst of all of our errant conditioning. A lot of things are conditioned wrongly, but Uranus will break all that up and give us the true pattern of things. So we think of receiving in our consciousness and in our groups that stream of Uranian energy, maybe a violet stream from its soul nature. And as that energy of Uranus pours into our individual life and into our groups, we sound the Om, and we feel that we are being imbued for the welfare of the reorganization of our groups with the energy of Uranus. I'll use a seventh ray note, which is a B. And our ethers, our individual life, our groups and so forth, our nations even, begin to repattern themselves under Uranus, so that heaven is reflected on earth, and the highest and the lowest can meet. There are going to be so many changes of form during the Aquarian Age under Uranus. One cannot conceive. I was looking today at some of the airplanes on these new Chinese aircraft carriers, and this is 100 years later than the biplanes that were flown in World War I. Do we think that the pilots of those biplanes could possibly conceive of what has appeared? And such it will be that way for us too. The wonders of the New Age under the inventive Uranus and Aquarius. So over these next few days, let's see what it would take to transform our lives, because certainly we all need it. Then we envision the largest planet, which is Jupiter. It's the esoteric ruler of Aquarius. It's very important along the second ray line, giving us group love, group consciousness, one consciousness in a group, enlarging the group astral, or rather causal body. And it conveys life more abundant. Magnificent planet. Its soul ray is ray 2. We don't know what may be its monadic ray. There's a lot of 7 in it, and it is Zeus with the lightning bolts. We'll see. But it's the planet we need to bring all things together in our group life. So where do our groups, or where do we individually, where do our groups need this kind of unifying, inclusive, coalescing energy? This is the year of the new group of world servers again, the festival week from December 21st to 28th, and maybe new levels of integration and wholeness can affect the new group of world servers if we meditate correctly. So let's see that royal blue energy flow into the groups, uniting, fusing, including, making one. Disciples in the world really need this right now, because there's so much that they have to accomplish. So whatever group you may be in, and extending to your community and nation and finally the whole of humanity, let's see how this fusing, blending, uniting, including energy can work to help us become truly group conscious beings and to help our groups become initiate groups. And keep these things in mind over the coming days, of course. We'll have the period of distribution. So, finally, planetarily, we think about the moon. It's not a living planet. It's a dense physical planet from the Earth scheme. And it tends to veil the pure energies of Uranus, Neptune, and Vulcan. And when there is an unveiling, then these very powerful sacred energies can get through, transfiguring the mind, emotions, and body. The moon in Aquarius is transfiguration ultimately, if it can be lifted as a veil. Then there will be the radiance of the etheric physical atoms under Vulcan, and the transcendent love of the soul and beyond under Neptune, and under Uranus, the occult brilliance in the mental world. Now this, usually considered a fourth ray planet, probably for reasons that have yet to be fully explained. But think about the stimulating of every aspect of the group life, of the group personality, so that we can have, as the rules in rays and initiations tell us, we can have the transfigured group personality. So let's see those three unveiled energies, usually veiled by the moon, streaming into our life, into our groups, and the wider groups of which we may be aware. We'll use a note of the fourth ray, an E. Until at last the mind, the astral body, the etheric physical body, they are truly elevated in vibration and ready to conform exactly to the will of the soul and beyond. Aquarius has so much promise and is truly a sign of initiation. Many will take initiation during the coming age. The Solar Logos, of course, evolved far beyond the planetary deities, which represent aspects of his chakras. The Solar Logos, spreading love, wisdom everywhere. And we are sun beings in a way, and ultimately our monad has its home within the sun, at least temporarily. So no matter what our rays may be and qualities and experience, it's the energy of love, wisdom, the dual ray of the Solar Logos, which we have to learn to receive and distribute. Our God is a consuming fire, the consuming fire of love. And we just pause for a moment to realize that this time the pervading love and wisdom throughout all aspects of our solar system coming from that great heart center in a cosmic logos that is coming from our solar God. Just establish some kind of imaginative relationship with this great source. Not just the sun in the sky rising and setting, but a great all-pervading being in terms of our solar system. Because indeed in him we live and move and have our being. With his second ray personality in this system, his second ray soul, and probably ultimately his second ray monad, with a fourth subray there somewhere. We are all part of that great being. And that is emphasized at the time of the full moon. Our God is a consuming fire, the fire of love, the fire of wisdom. But now we lift towards Aquarius, the constellation, bringing in principally at this time the fifth ray of mind, a great scientific, but also artistic constellation. And there is a seventh ray cycle operative during the approximately 2,500 years of Aquarius. So it's not a brilliant constellation visually. Some of the stars are very far away. And they really don't begin to have their effect upon humanity until the human being is quite evolved. But for disciples, the keynote is so important. It's the great sign of service. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty human beings. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty humanity. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men and women, poured forth. So let's just have some silence on that one, because we're going to be carrying it for some days, and maybe we've already been carrying it in our full moon celebrations. And the lead up to that, some groups, you know, observe these days ahead and afterwards. Water of life, am I. And all that pouring forth is to meet the need. So we have to be sensitive to need on whatever level, individual, group, community, national, pan-human, the need, water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty humanity. Think of what the Buddha said and the Christ. I am the light of the world. And Hermes too. What level of identification did they achieve so that they could become the light, recognize themselves as the light which meets human need? And think of Christ being the love of the world, our world, and the cosmic Christ of a still greater sphere, of course. What is it to be the stream of loving energy within the stream of love divine? What is it to be the will of the world, to be that, not just to have that, but to be that? These are the waters of life, the higher energies. Poured forth to meet the need. So let us be very sensitive to need all around us, because that, says DK, is the true psychism. And then in service, we shall be true energy distributors. We can practice that on the day after the full moon, looking around the world, using our creative imagination, sending in the needed energy through our creative imagination. Water of life am I. poured forth for thirsty human beings. Let's see if we can really hold that over the coming days and intensify that, those who are going to be awake before we begin our lead up to the actual full moon. It's about 5:45, and plus another half hour, another 6 hours plus, we begin. And let our concentration be very precise, and our understanding be very real, and our identification removed from the usual formal identifications, so that we can see that we are these waters of life in a deeper way than we are any form. So we intensify the point of tension, making the mantra more and more realizable, recognized within our consciousness. We're all living in this body of the one about whom naught may be said. But that being, of course, is only one of 49. And though vast compared to our solar system and what we are on our planet, it's tiny in the ultimate scheme of things. But we live and move and have our being ultimately within that one about whom naught may be said, the supercosmic logos, the unknown, as it is sometimes referred to. And within the heart and the head center of that being, as the analogy does hold, is the constellation Aquarius, promoting distribution widely in whatever it touches. And it brings in the fifth ray at this time, and other rays, but the fifth is emphasized. And that means the Ajna Center is emphasized, and the little bear is emphasized. Ursa Minor, with its star Polaris in the handle, the guiding star. And the energy flows into our seven solar systems, of which ours is one as a heart center. Seven major stars or so, and many other minor stars, in which our sun plays the role, our solar logos, plays the role of a heart center. And into our solar logos, and into Uranus and Jupiter, and that which the moon veils, Uranus, Neptune, Vulcan, and into Shambhala, touching our monadic life, and into hierarchy, touching our soul life, and finally, in a very attenuated form, into our personalities, causal body personalities, all the way from the highest source at this time, the energies descend and can be used. Sanat Kumara directs them, the Christ and his hierarchy take advantage of them to bring the plan closer. And we can experience the spiritualization of our personalities, particularly under this very vivifying Aquarian energy, making everything come vibratorily alive. And so we will prepare for the coming full moon, starting at least our presentation of it, and you may have your own and so forth, starting at 3:45 GMT in the usual broadcast mode, which may be listed, but you've been using it so much, every broadcast we have is the live link from YouTube. And we radiate out to humanity this Aquarian energy. We as a group radiate energy to uplift whomever the energy may touch. And we get into the divine circulatory flow, and we'll close our little meditation here with the great invocation, followed by the sacred word three times. Sending these energies of light, love, and power, and of Aquarius, and of its rulers, and of its rays, into those areas of the planet which need the attitude that Aquarius brings. And let us remember, democracy is threatened at this time in many quarters. Aquarius is the great sign of democracy. It is the hierarchical mode of government. Shambhala has something else, but democracy must be cultivated. You can direct it to overcome the dictatorial Leonian tendencies of selfish people who have forgotten that humanity is really one family and one group. So, the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Oh. Okay, friends, let's hold our point of group tension and build towards the actual moment, and then be successful in vivifying with the Aquarian energy those places which really need the circulation of the good and higher energies. So in another 5 hours and 45 minutes plus 30, another 6 hours and 15 minutes, we will begin our session leading up to the exact full moon. We'll inform you about other activities. We'll be continuing our sacred pentagram approach in the distribution time. And I'll be broadcasting the Aquarius solar fire ritual with, you know, music, oratory, and so forth. If you'd like to come and meditate with me, that will be on the 22nd. I think it's, I'll figure it out. You know, I'll let you know. It's in the evening there. And so we have a number of other activities going to try to zero in on this energy. So try to live it, try to breathe it, try to be part of the divine circulatory flow, and try to spread the good energy to whomever you may contact, and imagine it really bringing to all humanity, you know, this spirit of the importance of each and every human being carrying his or her particular gift, so that there may be true unity in diversity. Okay, friends, we'll get this out to you somehow, and it'll be you'll be notified where you can find it, and probably on Makara, and maybe on the YouTube. There's not much time, of course, before the full moon. So all the best, and thank you for being here. Love and many blessings, and we'll see you before long.